Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us, to reveal to us, show us, Lord, this place that you have created long ago for us in the Spirit with you. Help us to learn and to grow and to develop ourselves by your Spirit, through your Word, to learn how to live and walk and abide in the Spirit, to stay there. Not one foot in the spirit and one foot in the natural, but Lord, to live in the spirit continually. To live with you. Life. Life in abundance. We thank you for that. And Master, we thank you. We thank you that you speak to us further today. Wisdom. Mysteries. Father, that we may grow. And Lord, that it no longer remains a mystery to us, but it becomes crystal clear. Thank you, Father, for clearing the fog. Amen. Amen. Very quickly, let's turn. I'm going to do my best to try to finish up this portion of this series, because next week I would like to, we'll see how far we get in this today, but I would like to begin to talk about going over to the book of Jude and talking about praying in other tongues and the importance of that. But this morning, we're going to do our best to try to finish some of this up so we can move over and change gears a little bit more. But look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's so much in here, and this is going to take weeks to get a lot of this out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but I want to introduce this to you this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read this out of the New King James initially. It says here in verse 1, and it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." Now, this is Paul speaking here. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but they were, in other words, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men," or my wisdom, the lofty words that I would speak to you, he's saying here, "but your faith would be in the power of God. However," he says, "we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age." Notice that. "We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing," it says. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Now you need to meditate on that verse right there. Think about that verse right there. Let's read it again. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." In other words, it's mysterious to the natural man, to the unrenewed mind. "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." There is wisdom, mysteries, wisdom for the mysteries that have been hidden from the foundation of the world, that has been put on reserve for your glory. Amen. To make you glorious. As the born again people of God, we are the glorious ones. Amen. We are being transformed. We are to be reflecting, amen, His glory. But the more that we become acquainted with this wisdom, these mysteries that are in the Spirit, the more that we will be able then to reflect this glory, the more that we behold the wisdom of God, the mysteries of God, the more that we are changed. You know, you can turn over 2 Corinthians and look at that, right? Don't have to this morning. Changed from glory to glory, the more that we behold in the mirror, right? And so our progress then is a progress, it is a spiritual progress of continually beholding in the Word of God these mysteries that the Lord never intended for them to remain a mystery for us. Because He's given them to us to glorify us, to make us glorious like He is. Amen. Are you here? Now, for instance, you can come and you can sit in services, and sometimes you hear messages, especially when you're talking about spiritual things. You can come and you can sit in services, and your mind goes on tilt with some of the things that can be coming forth by the Spirit of God. And you can't figure it out with your mind, and your mind is going, I just don't understand this. You know, oh, that's deep. But right here in your spirit is going, yes, yes, yes. Mind says, I don't understand it. But your heart and your spirit says, that's right, that's right, that's right. Amen?
Amen.
That's a mystery. Something that has been hidden. But the more that we behold that, and the more that we look at that, and the more that we begin to pray by the Spirit in the Spirit concerning these things, then He begins to clear up the mystery to us. And it's no longer a mystery. It's no longer just something that our heart or our spirits agree with, but then we can't wrap our minds around it because our minds haven't been renewed. But then we get to the place where we're growing in this, growing spiritually, where we are becoming more, created more, reflecting more of His glory, more of His likeness, becoming more and more like Him every single day. See, when man fell, oh, great was that fall. It was a huge fall. It was a tremendous fall. We fell from that place in our relationship with Him, in our life with Him in the Spirit. It was huge. Amen. And now we that we've been saved and that we've been born again, we are growing, even though it's been provided for us, but we are having to grow in our understanding of what this place is in Christ, who is our hope of glory.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Understanding what this place is in Christ, so we can continually be transformed into that image. I don't know about you, but I want to grow.
Amen.
I want to grow.
Amen.
We're going to have to learn this somewhere. Sooner or later, we might as well make it sooner. Amen. But if you'll notice down in here, let's keep reading here. Reading. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, because they're still mysteries. But God has revealed them, it says, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us, how? Through His Spirit. Amen. We are now living in the dispensation, the greatest dispensation dispensation of the Holy Ghost, the dispensation of the Spirit of God for the last 2,000 years. Amen. And he is revealing things, showing things. We're going deeper in the things of the Spirit. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad he sent his Spirit? Amen. Amen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things. Notice that. The mysteries. These things that have been ordained from before the ages, from before the foundation of the world, for our glory. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. They're theirs already. Amen. We haven't been walking in the fullness of them because we haven't understood them. But the more that we understand, the more that we are able to walk in these things. Amen. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now notice verse 14, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man. So that's what I'm talking about here. The mind is going to go on till the natural man's going to go, whoa, wait a minute here. I just feel like he's talking way over my head. I don't get this. Well, I may be talking way over your head, but I'm not talking way over your heart. Amen. Amen. And if you allow these things to penetrate in your heart and penetrate in your spirit and begin to pray about some of these things, your head will catch up. Aren't you glad for that? Yes. And it's not going to remain a mystery to you. Mm-hmm. But now we have a responsibility to do our part and to pray about these things. I have given, under the direction of the Spirit of God, in the past 2 weeks, I have given us enough light. I have given us enough revelation that we could live the rest of the year on. And that's no exaggeration. But what are we going to do with it? Are we just going to, well, I didn't really understand. I mean, it was good, but I didn't understand. Then we just kind of put it aside and not really do anything about it. No, he gives us these things for a purpose. He gives us these things and so that we can begin to pray about these things and so that we can begin to grow into these things. Not just forget about it till we get to the next service. But to meditate on them and to pray about them all throughout the week. And to grow in these things. Amen. How many of you are growing? I believe you're growing. I believe we're all growing. Now, we find our real life in the Word of God, don't we? What it is, how it's expressed. We find our real life there. To be connected with God and his word is to be connected with life and then disconnected from death. To be connected with God and his word is to be connected with life. And at the same time, when we are connected with life, we are disconnected from death. It matters where you're connected. It matters where you're plugged in. Right? Amen. To be disconnected from God and his word is to be disconnected from life and to be connected with death, which we have been delivered from. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus. Now look over at Hebrews chapter 4. I refuse to be rushed in this. We're just going to take our time. I just get excited about it and I'm ready for us to they go on, but we might not be quite there yet. Let's just sit here. Hebrews chapter 4. And this is a powerful verse of scripture here. Hebrews 4. Well, I think I'm going to read this one out of the New Living. I love the way the New Living puts it. Let me look here. Hebrews 4, verse 12 from the New Living, it says, "For the word of God is alive." That which you're holding there in your lap. For the word of God is alive. It's our book of life. Our instructions for living life, being connected with life. It's alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Notice that. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So much so, it's so sharp that it can cut or it can distinguish between the spirit of a man and the soul of a man. See, we get these all jumbled up a lot of times. But if we'll get into the word, which is a spirit word, then this word then will begin to make distinction, or it will begin to divide spirit from the soul. And we can begin to see things in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions that still need to be renewed, right? So that we can grow in the things of God and realize then that our souls were given to us as tools of our spirit to express our spirit instead of dominating our spirits. Because with our soul, we can touch the realm of the spirit. Or, on the other hand, we touch this natural realm. Amen. I am touching this natural realm this morning and speaking to you out of the spirit this morning because I am connected by a soul that is enabling me to speak to you out of the spirit. Amen. Allowing my spirit to dominate my words. Giving voice to it. And so then our spirits, they were not given to us to be used as tools of our body. Well, if it feels good, then just do it. And to be controlled by our emotions and our feelings. And all of these things are there and they're real, mind you. Right? But they weren't meant to dominate us, the real man on the inside, and control and dictate how we live our lives. You see, when we live in the spirit and our minds are being renewed and they are connected with our spirit, the bridge between the spirit and the natural, it can carry what is there and belongs to us in the spirit and transport that over to the natural realm instead of vice versa. So we have to learn how to distinguish between the two. And the word of God, it'll do that for us. Amen. Thank God for his word. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Wow. Amen. The word will always come and it will expose things. And the exposing is for our good. It's never for our bad. When the Lord exposes us, he is not exposing us to experience his wrath or his condemnation. But he exposes these things so that we can see them and change and grow Amen? Now, you have to keep pride and all of that aside. You have to get rid of those things because pride will hinder you. We don't want that. Amen? Verse 13 says that nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Wow. Spirit, soul, or body. Nothing in all creation. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Wow. The Amplified puts verse 12 this way, and I love how it says it. It says, for the word that God speaks is alive. Notice that. The word that God speaks, it's alive. Amen. He is giving us life today. He's speaking to us today, right? And what he's speaking to us, it's alive and it breeds life in us. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. Wow. Power for what? Power to transform us and to change us. Amen. Full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Wow. We have to determine and make up our minds that we simply refuse to be deceived and to deceive others and self, of course. Because a lot of times you know something to be true here in your spirit. But then we deceive others. Right? Because of ungodly pride. Not wanting this that is real and true to be exposed out here. And so then our minds say something differently. To deceive others. And even to deceive self. The biggest problem is we try to deceive ourselves way too much. Amen? We need to stop trying to deceive ourselves. That which we know is true here in our spirits, that the Lord reveals and exposes, but yet we just kind of brush it aside, and we get little glimpses of this truth, and he begins to speak these things to us regarding our lives and things that he wants us to grow, and he's given us grace to change in. But we push those aside time and time again, and I'm okay, it's all right, I'm okay, you're okay, and we just, you know, and we put those things aside, and we deceive ourselves. Amen? Amen? And then because we are living in deception, then we end up deceiving others. Lying, contrary to the truth. Speaking things that are contrary to the truth. This okay today? Yes. So we have to determine then that we want our lives to be totally exposed and open as they are already. Before him, but totally exposed and open before us. And we recognize and we see that and we acknowledge the things that need to be acknowledged and not ignored. And we acknowledge these things and we look at these things and then we begin to judge these things according to the word. Make a choice. And then begin to make adjustments and changes so that the outward man will reflect the inner man. And we live differently. There's grace to do that. Amen. Oh, thank God there's grace to do that. Praise God for that. Now, I think we quoted this last week, but I want us to look at it. I don't know if we looked at it or not last week, but we'll look at it today. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and here we have something that Jesus said, which is so profound and so spiritual, so life-giving, if we can understand this. He said this in verse 63, John 6, 63 from the New Living. He says, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing." Well, there's revelation right there. Amen. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Wow. Amen. You see, these weren't natural words. These were words of the Spirit. Words spoken by the Spirit out of the spirit realm. Right? Which promote life. Which help us to grow. Which help us to change. And to cut off the dead. Cut off the things that don't matter. That's not productive, not conducive to our new life in Christ. You see, when we get saved and we get born again, we start on this journey. Amen. We start on this path, the path of life. And we start out on this path. And when we first get saved, this path is huge. It's so wide. It's so big and so vast. But the further that we progress in this new life in Christ, we begin to notice that the path seems to be getting narrower and narrower and smaller, like it's beginning to close in on us. You ever notice that? And the things that you thought were okay when you first got saved and when you first got born again, and now 10, 15 years later, because you're further down the path, you're in another place where that you thought was okay, well, now that's in the ditch. Right? Amen. So the further that we progress on this path of life, the more that the Holy Spirit in this dispensation, in this age, He is revealing things to us. Concerning the character of Christ, concerning our character, exposing things and showing us, comparing these, so that we can then better reflect His glory. These things that were hidden to us, that were mysterious to us before, but now aren't quite as mysterious because we're growing in them, and because we're growing in them, they begin to glorify us, and we begin to reflect His glory in greater degrees and greater measures than we have in times past. We're being changed. I want to change. Amen. You want to change? I want to grow. Amen. And that should be something that we continually say and continually pray. Yes, we are ultimately the ones that have to make the decision in these things in order to grow and to change. But Lord, change me. And what you're saying, when you say something like that and you pray something like that, Lord, change me. What you are saying is this: expose things. Reveal truth to me. Show me things. Lord, change me. He says, okay, I'll change you. And the way that I'm going to change you is I'm going to judge some things. I'm going to show you some things. Yeah. But now whether or not you actually change and begin to reflect my goodness
And my glory in these, now that's up to you. Amen. Don't deceive yourself by saying, you know, Lord, change me. Come into services. And then you go and you live like hell the rest of the week. And you know what's wrong. Oh, thank God. The Message Bible puts it this way in John 6:63. He says, the Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. But then he says this, every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word. And so, it's life-making. Amen. Amen. Every time the Lord speaks something to us, what is he doing? He's making life. He's making us come alive. The word of God is being spoken. It's dividing things. And he's making us come alive. He's teaching us how to live. He's teaching us about our life in the Spirit. He's teaching us about this place that he has ordained for us from before the foundation of the world. That's been hidden in a mystery, but it's there. And now he's revealing it to us. He's showing us by his Spirit. We should see more today than we saw last year. We should see more this day, Sunday, February the 9th, than we saw last week. See, the more that we see his light and the more that we begin to walk in that light, the more that we can begin to change. If we just ignore it, he's not going to show us more. You're not going to grow. Until you pick up with the things that he showed you and revealed to you, and you begin to make that area of your life more glorious. And as you do, then he can show you more things. He can't show you anything else until you do this. Because it's progressive, because you're on that path. Amen. The path of life. The path of growth in the Spirit. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I love the word. What about you? Oh, I love the word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank God for the written word of God. And thank God for this written word that the Holy Spirit will take and he will speak it to us. And then it's not just words that we are reading on a page. It becomes real life to us. Because he personalizes it. And he says, Wayne, this. Look at this. Shines a spotlight on this. It says here in verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16, New Living Translation. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. And is useful to teach us what is true. Notice that. It teaches us what is true. And to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Amen. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Thank God for his word. Amen. Thank God that we can have time and we can go home and we can read and study the word. And thank God for times when we can come together as a church family, which he's ordained. Under a corporate anointing where the Holy Ghost is in a greater operation and manifestation where the gifts of the Spirit. Words of wisdom are being given right now. Amen. Where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation and manifestation. Every time, do you hear what I said? Every time, if we can discern that, and if we can see that, amen, every time. Why? So that that written word becomes the spoken word to us, that Jesus is speaking to us, inspired by God, and it's useful, it says here, to teach us what is true and to make us what is wrong in our lives. The purpose of the Word is not for us just to come to church and get this feel-good, you know, feeling. And thank God for the feel-good feelings. We all like them. Amen. But the purpose of the Word, the Lord gave us His Word not to necessarily just make us feel good, but He gave us His Word to point out the things that need to be adjusted and changed. And sometimes when He points those things out, it's not fun to the flesh. It's sharp. It's that sword that's cutting, exposing things. But we should want that. And the sign of a spiritually mature believer, somebody that is hungry to know Him greater every single day, that should be something, that should be our quest. Even if it hurts. Because I know it's not going to hurt forever. If it's got to hurt now, let's just get the hurt over with. Show me. Hurt my feelings, hurt my pride. They need to be hurt. Amen. Because I want to reflect His glory. I'm going to grow in the glory of God. Thank God for the written Word. Look over at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Oh, see here. Second Peter chapter 1. I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. I love this. There's so many people that have tried to come through the years and discredit the Word of God. Well, you know, man wrote that. Yes, he did. Inspired by God. It's Holy Scripture. It's Holy Scripture. Look at this in verse 16. 2 Peter 1, verse 16, it says, "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His majestic splendor with our own eyes when He received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to Him, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." Notice, they were with Him and they heard this. Right? Look at verse 19. "Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets." Those that were before them. The prophets. We could go from Genesis all the book of the Old Testament. The Old Testament book. The message that the prophets spoke. "We have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture, or none of this that was spoken by the prophets that has been written down in the Word of God, no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God." Wow. So then the Spirit of God, He moved on these men of old, these prophets of God, and He moved through them, not through their own understanding of things, but He moved through them and had them speak, and what they spoke was recorded, and that became Holy Scripture to us because they were Spirit words. Amen. But the Spirit of God is still speaking today.
Yes.
He will move today.
Yes.
And he will speak today.
Yes.
Some of the very things that we are quoting and we are preaching from today. Amen. Where things actually, you go back and you look at the Apostle Paul and you look at some of these men of God, they quoted Old Testament. He was actually writing the New Testament as he spoke, as he was inspired, as the Holy Spirit moved through him. Holy instructions that became Scripture. You see, this book is so alive. It's not just a book. And it's so big, and God's word is so vast. It's not ending. It's not just Genesis to Revelation. There's so much more that happens in between. And this book is still being written today. It's been written this morning. And it's being written in your hearts by the Spirit of God. Taking words that were spoken by prophets long ago. And then amplifying those words. Speaking it to you today, fresh and new, amen, in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that we are in this dispensation. Amen. What it must have been like. My goodness. You know we like to pick up stones and throw stones at the children of Israel. And you look at the rebellion and everything that they said and did against their pastor Moses. Remember that? And Moses get upset about it. But Moses had visitations from God. He could go up on the mountain. He was speaking to God face to face with things. Right? And he could speak then and he could deliver what the Lord was saying to him. But the children of Israel, They did not have that. And so they were in such a fallen state. Yes, they were rebellious, but they were rebellious because they were sinners. They were doing what they did best. They created a golden calf, fashioned a golden calf, created idols, made these things because that's what they knew to do best, because they were natural. But you and I were spiritual. We've got something that they didn't have. We're living in a time that the prophets of old prophesied about and spoke by the Spirit of God about. A dispensation that they would have, Moses would have given anything to have been a prophet in 2014. You think about that. Oh, this is a great dispensation. Amen. Now, let's keep going here. So I'm going to ask you again this morning, what was the main purpose then for Jesus coming? To give us life, right? Amen. To give us life back. So that we could be born from death back to life. So that we could be connected once again to the author, to the giver of life. And experience that life flowing through us. Amen. Not just speaking to us from that side of life while we were still in death and trying to give us laws and trying to give us regulations and trying to give us ways by which we should be living and conducting our lives. But because they weren't really connected with the Spirit of life, there wasn't any real empowerment. There wasn't any real grace in order for them to fulfill it. It was a measuring stick that revealed things that they couldn't live up to. But it had to be that way at that time. Amen. So then Jesus came to give us life. John chapter 10, verse 10, New Living Translation, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life, or a rich and satisfying life. I love that. Our life in the Spirit should be rich, and it should be satisfying. He came to give us that. Amen. the only thing that we should ever be satisfied about with our spiritual life or our life in the spirit is to have a dissatisfaction. Well, that's not enough. I want more. We should have a satisfaction of being dissatisfied. Does that make sense? Of, I want to know more. I want to grow more. Lord, show me more. Reveal to me more. Amen. So then Jesus came because man was spiritually dead. He was connected with death and separated from the Zoe, life of God, the God kind of life. He came to set things back in order for us spiritually. Amen. He came to begin to put things back into their proper place for us. Breathe the breath of life back into us once again. And so then when the life of God comes in, so does God's authority and power, right? When we begin to realize our place in this life in Christ, our new life in Him, being connected with Him, there's authority and power that comes with that. And no longer do we have to allow the devil to come and steal, kill, and destroy anything from us. Because we're connected with life. Amen. The depth of authority and power that we walk in as Christians, as believers, is relative to our life in the Spirit. The depth of our life in the Spirit. Just reviewing a little bit more, because we're gonna hear some of these things. Each time we hear them, it's given us more. And more light is coming. So then the depth of authority and power that we walk in, it is a direct result of our life in the Spirit. We don't have to try to muster up authority or power or try to get the feeling there in order to get the devil to take his hands off of something. When we know our place in the Spirit, you can just utter a simple whisper. And that's all you have to do. Because that whisper is coming from a depth, from a place in the Spirit. That the loudest scream that you have is not. And you're trying to get something accomplished. Amen. This is true concerning our life in the Spirit. True concerning our growth in faith. Amen. You know, we can make. Now hear me. Because we've sat in service after service and we've just, you know, saturated ourselves in this arena, which is fine. But we can make the faith message sound so grand and so great. Right? Oh, this is how it works. But then actually getting it to work is another story. You can quote, if you've been around here any long, you can quote my messages. You can quote Brother Hagin's messages. You can quote Brother Copeland, Brother Jerry's. You can probably preach some of their messages. You've listened to them time and time again, probably even finished their stories. But it's another thing to actually get that to work for you. We know how to make it sound good and to preach it to others. But do we know how to make it work? We must. We must. We don't just come here to fill our heads with a bunch of knowledge concerning things. We need to learn how to work it and to translate that. Amen. And so then that can even affect us in our praying. We know how to pray, many of us. We know how to quote verses of Scripture because we know the word, the written word. We know certain aspects of prayer. But if you aren't careful, because you aren't developed or mature spiritually, or the light and revelation isn't quite there the way that it should be spiritually, you can be praying from a standpoint of fear. And you can be praying in other tongues, yelling in other tongues, and that be contaminated, so to speak, with fear. and it not produce the same results.
I'm speaking words that are spirit and words that are life here, and you need to catch some of these things. So there's a difference. Yes, we must know the mechanics of prayer, but we must also know the spirit or life of prayer. That when we do pray, that we aren't just praying because we know this is what needs to be prayed. We are praying from a place, from a position in the spirit. That when we know, that when we pray, when we utter these things, we're in that position of authority. We're in that place of power in Him, in Christ. That when we pray, our prayers then, they're effective. And they produce things. And we don't have to pray them time and time and time and time. Well, if I pray enough, well, the change happens when you make a change, when you make a shift in the spirit. When you begin to pray from a different place. You're praying in the spirit is not just praying in other tongues. It's a place. It's a position. Life in the spirit. See, that flow of life. Life flows out of the spirit when we pray. We release life into this natural realm when we pray out of the spirit realm. Directed by the Holy Ghost. Some of these things are still mysteries to us. Some of these things we can understand. And we have words that we can put on that. Natural human words that we can use to give voice to these things. And then some of these things we don't yet. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Who comes and He takes these mysteries and these things that are in life that we know that we can sense them right here. We know that this is right. And we know what the will of God is concerning these things. So then He gives us His Spirit to help us, to assist us. When we don't know how to pray everything, we don't have all the right words, He has the right words. And so then it's not the volume of prayer or how loud we pray. That means that we are exercising much authority and power. The volume of your natural voice, it means very little. The reaction physically, it means very little. Now, don't misunderstand me. You can and you will react in a very authoritative and sound very authoritative, but that's coming from a different place. Right? And there's no deception there. See, we can be deceived even in prayer. When we are praying, think that we are praying with such authority, think that we are praying with such power. When there's not that place, we're not quite in that place that we should be. But we're trying in the natural. It sounds right and it looks right. But the fruit is not quite how it should be. Amen. This sound weird? Sounds good right here, doesn't it? Right here. Right in your spirit. Words that are spirit. Words that are life. And so then, we're growing in this. We're growing in this place. And each time that we come together, He begins to show and He begins to reveal more light. So that when we pray and when we live or when we quote the word, the written word, we are quoting it from a position. Not trying to get a position of authority and power over the situation. But we are quoting it, we are speaking it from a position. We have the position. Amen. Oh, thank God. And so then Luke chapter 10. I gave you a little bit, a few verses in the beginning. That was just kind of an appetizer. Now we're doing a quick review. Luke chapter 10. It says in verse 18, New Living, yes, He told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy.
you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Notice that. Nothing will injure you. This life in the Spirit, connected with Him, connected with authority, connected with power. Amen? So life is always more powerful than Satan. Life is always more powerful than death. Always. Without exception and without fail, life always wins. Life will happen. Life always comes out on top. Amen? And so then true and lasting authority and power always have their roots in the realm of the Spirit. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the believer's source of authority. It is our source of power. Amen? It's our source of victory over every satanic circumstance. Every time. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Wind up here in just a second. Just a second. You're quiet, but I believe you're pondering and I believe you're listening. I believe light is shining and you're doing your best to listen. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, New King James. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. See, we'll take these verses, we'll take verses 1 and 2, and we'll quote this when we sin to try to justify our forgiveness. Well, see, you're not doing that from a place of confidence. You're doing that from a place of trying to justify things and to make you feel better or to try to make somebody else feel better towards you. Truth, exposing, revealing. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law, I love this, spiritual law here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, notice that, it's already happened, has made what? Me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. So then, the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, who is in you, and you're in Him, and you're living in the Spirit. Amen. This law of the Spirit of life has now made you free of the law that governs sin and death. And now there's no condemnation. Amen. Thank God for that. Praise God. New Living says, so now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit. Notice that His Spirit gives life. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. We feel powerless. We feel ineffective in this natural realm because we don't realize our place in the realm of the Spirit. Especially in regards to our relationship with others and situations and circumstances. Remember, we talked a little bit about forgiveness last week by the Spirit of God. Amen. To forgive somebody is to exercise spiritual authority and to be dominated by the Spirit and live out of your spirit. To not forgive is to allow your soul to dominate your spirit. Your feelings and your emotions to dominate your spirit. I could never forgive them for that. You're not living out of your spirit. Whether you like it or not, we may all be on different places and different realms or different positions of growth spiritually. But we're all going to be in heaven, I trust.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. We will all be there. I'm going to be there. And I believe that you're going to be there too. And so we should work on these areas here. Get a head start down here. Amen. What it means to walk in love. See, to walk in love is to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
To step out of love is to step out of the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that He walks in love towards me. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. And so we feel powerless in the natural realm with things because we don't know our place in the Spirit. People get under our skin. Why? Skin. It's natural. It's a feeling. It's a voice of the emotions or a voice of the flesh. They get under there because that is a part of us that hasn't been subjected to. I know lots of people that get under my skin. But we can't let them stay there. We may feel a little prick every once in a while. And once that prick comes, like, no, you're not getting under my skin.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, that is full-time job sometimes. And it's work sometimes, but we can do that. There's grace to do that. And that is a sign of spiritual maturity. It doesn't mean that you approve of rebellious behavior or you approve of somebody's actions. It just means that you're an authority over that. Amen. Amen. Preaching to myself. Preaching to all of us. Because we're growing in this. Father, I commit this word into your hands today. Lord, I have endeavored to follow your Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that were here today, showing us, teaching us, revealing to us. Thank you, Lord, for speaking life to us, for helping us to grow. And Father, I pray that this next week, I pray, Lord, for every church family member, Lord, those that are even guests here today, Father, I pray for them. I pray that this next week would be a week of growth. A week of, Lord, where they began to see things and grow in these areas, Lord, where they haven't grown before. I pray for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you for strength. Thank you for grace. In the name of Jesus. Amen.